Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for this Tuesday, March the 10th. It is a great joy to come back on radio again today. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. And I praise the Lord for it. Well, our Reaching America with the Gospel Project is going great. People are supporting, but I hope you'll help us. We're in great need of additional support if we're going to take these stations on. I never take anything on I can't pay for, all right? And somebody said, well, live by faith. Well, there's a difference between faith and foolishness now. Amen. There is an element of faith about it. But if you'd like to give, just make your check to GBI, and you can mail it to us, Post Office Box 797. Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Or you can call our office and give on the card, the debit or credit, 336-356-1560 or 336-372-5700. You can also go on our website and give. We have the PayPal thing set up there. You can do that. We're asking $10 a month for the next 1 year. In other words, if you start in March, it'll be March through February. And if you fall on hard times and can't do that, we understand. But remember, your commitment is to the Lord and not me. So if you want to just make that $120 check, it'll be fine. Now listen, I'm not on the radio for your money, but I want to strengthen our ministry and also reach out and get these other stations, go on some stations at where that the Lord would be pleased with us getting the guy. And I'm going to announce to you where we're going, okay? And we've not took anything on yet as of the time I'm recording this. Now, I record about a month ahead. So, you know, I want you to understand that. And I want to be transparent and upfront with you. I'm not on the radio for your money. I want to be honest. Somebody wrote me a letter last fall and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know I believe you're the most honest preacher I ever heard." Well, thank you for the testimony. I want to be that way. I'm not in here for your money. I'm not in it for gain. I'm not in here for a meeting at your church. Now, we do take support meetings and we go by churches, but I'm going to say this to you. What I meant by that is this. I'm not on the radio preaching just so I can get a place to preach. A lot of preachers, they'll take a radio broadcast and say, well, that's going to open doors. And it will, it could, but that's not my goal. I'm not on the radio to get you to get me to preach. I'm on the radio to help people. There are people that's hurting. There are people that needs God. There's people that are saved that needs help. And little Bible. Now, we've got some great preachers still preaching. But you know, less and less of the Bible is being preached, especially on social media and stuff like that. And we need to get the Word of God out, don't we? Amen. On this Tuesday, let's go back to our message, Conquering Canaan. The children of Israel was at the brink of going and conquering the Canaan land when he was a young man 40 years earlier, and they turned their back. And no doubt in Joshua's mind, the devil's probably telling him they're going to do that again. Why, they're going to get up to the door of this thing, they're going to do it again. Well, Joshua handled it a little bit different this time, and he did it, I think, a little bit quicker this time, and the people ready to fall in line. But you go forward in life, you go to the Canaan land, you go to victorious Christian by obeying God. I don't know why it's so hard for people to obey the Lord. Amen, I don't know why. I heard about Dr. Lee Robertson told a story. I heard him tell this the other day in a message he was preaching about. He said, I was on a plane. He said, I was flying from Charlotte to Atlanta. And he said, there was a man sitting over across from me. And he said, I was reading my Bible and studying. And the man looked at me and said, are you a preacher? And he said, I am. And the man came over and talked to me. He said, I'm a doctor. He said, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm a doctor. And they began to sit and talk. And he said, preacher, he said, I'll tell you something. He said, I'm just unhappy. He said, I'm unhappy in my life. I'm unhappy in my work. He said, I just can't figure out why I'm unhappy. And Brother Robertson began to give him scriptures and talk to him about surrender. He said, I'm saved. The man said, I'm saved by grace. I'm born again. I know that, but I'm just not happy. And Dr. Robertson began to talk to him about surrendering. Dr. Robertson said, well, here's what you need to be willing to do. As a doctor, what if God called you to the darkest, darkest tribe of Africa to be a medical missionary? And said, that man said, oh, no, 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 I couldn't do that. And Brother Robertson said, right there's your trouble, sir. You don't have to do it. You just got to be willing to do it. Don't mean God's going to call you there. Sometimes God will test you. I remember one time God tested me to go to Vietnam to be a missionary. He tested me. And I had a man's number in my pocket. And I said, Lord, I'll call the man. I'm not married. You know, I wasn't married at the time. I'll call the man. I'm willing to go. God, you know I'll go. I started up my yard and my sitting outside my house. And I started up my yard. God said, don't you call that man. Don't call that man. And then God turned me. And then God gave me something else to do. Now, here's the thing about it. About everything that I've ever done, every time I've tried to go to the mission field, God will turn it back into radio and let me do something. You got to be obedient. Number three, going forward. I'm talking about conquering Canaan now. I'm talking about where Moses, God told the children of Israel in the book of Exodus to go forward. You have to rely on God's word. I believe every verse in the Bible. I'll touch that later. I believe the 66 books of the Bible, 1189 chapters, 31,000 verses. I am not looking to rearrange the Bible. I'm not looking to take parts out of the Bible. I'm not looking to say, well, we're under this and this and this, and that don't apply to this and this. Let me say this. I realize that we do not live by the Mosaical law. I realize we do not keep the law to go to heaven. I don't preach that we have to keep the law. And amen, I'm not a legalist, and that's what a legalist is. But there are things in the Old Testament that are our examples. And just because we're living under grace doesn't mean we can live any way we want to if we're saved. I want you to understand that. Amen. But we must rely upon every promise in this Bible. When God sends you to do a work, my life's verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, what that verse is saying, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Where God calls, he will supply the need. Amen. When God calls, he'll take care of it. Now, you know, the reason a lot of preachers get into things in the ministry and they fail in them, projects or whatever, it's not God's will. You see, if we're going to fight a battle, the Bible says we're to count the cost first. If a nation's going to go to war against another nation, it counts the cost. It moves military assets in place. So we have to count the cost today about things we're getting ready to do. Now, that doesn't mean that we reason it out by philosophy. There are things we've got to go by faith on. But brother, you know, if you're born again, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know when God tells you to do something. I'm telling you, you know when it. And brother, there's nothing like knowing God's will. Amen. I've been on some things that God has led me into over the past 48 years of being saved. And I knew for a fact God wanted that done. Now, I didn't know how it's going to be done. I remember a time when we were in a project. We had raised $50,000. We was trying to borrow another, I don't know, 80 and 90,000 from the bank. And boy, I remember a time we had raised $50,000 from donations. I mean, all over the country, literally all over the eastern part of the country. And so the bank pulled my loan out from under, or threatened to. They said, we're going to pull this loan out from under you. Said, we're going to pull it out. I remember sitting down in my wife's office. I remember this. It wasn't my wife's office at that time. Then she ended up being in that office, but it's where she was that day. She is sitting there, and I was sitting there. Wasn't nobody in the building, me and her. I sat down on the floor, and I cried like a baby. I said, Christy, I don't know what in the world we're going to do. I said, we can't give all this money back to these people. We don't even know some of them. We don't even know. They just sent it. We don't even know. Somebody handed it to me and said, so-and-so said, give it to you. You know, you try to keep records of all of it, but, man, it's going to be hard to do all that. And I said, I guess we're going to have to just give all the money back and tell them the project's over. That's what the devil wanted me to think. And I went on down to the house, and, you know, everybody, you know, we're just all naturally flesh, you know, and we got the Spirit of God living us, but the flesh. And so I did what everybody would do. I called who I knew. I knew a lady who knew a man, and I called this lady, and she said, you need to call this man. And when I hung up, the Holy Ghost said, don't you call that fella. And I said, but Lord, he said, don't call him. I said, but Lord, he said, don't call that man. Now, it wasn't no reflection on that lady. Did God want me to call that man? I said, Lord, what do I do? You've heard me tell this story before on the radio. God said, call the president. I said, the who? God said, call the president. Amen. Maybe not, but I mean, I did kind of argue the Lord a little bit. And so my wife's sitting there at the computer, and she's sitting there. She had a bunch of numbers, and I said, get me the president's office. Now, this is true, what I'm telling you. I said, get me the president's office. And I'm relying on the Word of God. God told us to go forward with this project. You know, the Word of God's real, right? God said to go forward. Faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it. So I'm sitting there. And I said, give me the number. And she said, Ricky, do you realize how many numbers there are here? I said, well, at this point, just pick one. And brother, she picked a number. I called the number. Lady come on the line. I said, ma'am, I said, I need to speak with the president, please. She said, hold, sir. Now, amen. I thought, wow, amen. And little lady come on the line, I'll never forget her. Her name was Brooke. And Brooke came on the line. She said, my name is Brooks, and I'm the president's assistant. Said, may I help you? I said, well, ma'am, I really need to speak with him if I could. She said, well, you can speak to him. He's in a meeting and right now. But said, could you mind telling me what you need? I said, no, I don't mind at all. I said, I'm trying to borrow money from your bank. And I said, we've got the loan ready to go and all that. And I said, now the bank's getting aggravated with me because we're not closing fast enough. And I said, I'm doing the best I can. I said, it ain't my fault. And explained the whole situation to her. And I said, they're going to pull the loan out from under me. And they're going to make me lose this thing. She said, sir, you can talk to the president, but you don't need the president. She said, I'll have you help by 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, thank you, ma'am. 10 o'clock on the dot the next morning, so help me, I got a phone call out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and the man called me. I can't even remember his last name. I can't even remember. And he called me, he said, sir, he said, you take all the time you need in closing that loan. We don't pull loans out from under our customers. Let me tell you something, brother. I relied on the word of God. I took God at his word. Now, I ain't nothing special. Listen, there's nothing special about Ricky Cothran, about that story there that I've had to tell many times on the radio and in the pulpit. But let me tell you about that story. It wasn't me or Miss Brooke or anybody else. It was God that did it. It is God that worked on the hearts. And I tried to be a bit relied on the word of God. When God tells you to do something, now, hey, if God ain't told you to do it, he ain't obligated to pay for it. And I'll put it this way. If Jesus walked in a restaurant and you looked around and you saw him, you said, oh, Jesus is here. And you didn't have but $2 and you ordered two big steaks and you said, man, I'm going to just eat since Jesus is here. He'll pay for it. I'm going to 2 big steaks and I'm going to me 2 big milkshakes and I'm going to me 2 orders of fries and I'm just going to eat. And you sit there and eat all that. And you got up and you said, Jesus, would you pay for that? And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to pay for that. Well, Lord, wait a minute. You saved me. Yeah, he said, but I didn't order that. You did. You didn't ask me before you ordered that. Was I going to pay? No, I'm not going to pay for it. Now you're saying, well, Jesus wouldn't do a thing like that. Yeah, he would. Spiritually, he would. If you get involved in something that Jesus ain't involved in, I know in the name of ministry, a lot of things are done. I'm not against ministry. I'm not against getting the gospel out. Please don't misunderstand that, friend. I spend money, thousands of dollars every year that God sends in that God knows I don't have. I spend the money trying to get the gospel out. But let me say this to you, that if I get off into something of my own that God doesn't want me into, then God is not obligated to pay that. God paid the great debt at Calvary, and that paid for my sin. I thank God that he died for me and he rose again. Amen, that men can have life and trust in him. But he's not obligated to pay for my stuff that I get off in. Now, not only that, but taking the forward, F-O-R-W, taking the W, amen. There's some work in going forward. Now, you can't just sit by. Amen. If you're going to go for God, you're going forward for God, you got to work at it. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. If you're pastoring a church, you got to work at it. You got to invite people. If you're operating a ministry, you got to work at it. I used to didn't see the value of working. I used to didn't see the value of, doing any work. I was lazy. A lot of my ministry, even after God gave me the ministry, I was still somewhat lazy. But let me tell you, well, the radio ministry is doing good, but how much better could it have done had I not been lazy? Then, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for Tuesday, March the 10th, and you've been listening to a message entitled Conquering Canaan, R489-5. I hope this message was a real blessing to you and is this week. If you'd like to have a copy of it, you may write us at the address we'll give you at the end of the broadcast. We can also email it to you, comments@gbiradio.org, or call our office. All right, until tomorrow, I'm Brother Ricky Cothran saying thank you for listening. May God bless you is my prayer. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cothran. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.